Our second lesson is from Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho as he had his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, were sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man and said to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the sermon title today is "How Can I Help You?" which we've heard a lot about that already. As Mark reminds us in where Jesus and the disciples are going and where we are going as we journey with them, they and we are headed to Jerusalem. We know what's going to happen in Jerusalem. We've read to the end of the story. And so it is with some fear and trembling that we make the journey to Jerusalem. The first century disciples didn't know what's going to happen there. The disciples in between the first and 21st centuries have not always grasped the significance of what happens in Jerusalem. To fill in this gap in understanding and expectation, Jesus tells them and us and everyone in between what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He tells us that we will go up to Jerusalem, and there the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priest and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. From this narrative, what is going to happen next is so obvious and clear that none of the disciples want to ask anything about it. Instead, James and John come to Jesus with a request. And depending on what tone of voice we use for that request, we can hear different things. I'm not so sure I can pull this off. I told someone this morning I don't know how to sneer, but they told me I do. So we'll go from there. In plain English, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Or, like a little teacher's pet, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Or very demanding, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And now the snivel or whine, "Teacher, do for us whatever we want." Those foul moods of James and John are expressions of bad theology. Those moods say, "Jesus, we want you to do just what we want, when we want, how we want, because you're not really the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're really just our personal servant here to fulfill our whims and our wants." But a sincere reading of this passage is, "Teacher, please, We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus responds by asking what it is they want. Their answer is simple and straightforward. They want reserved seating at his right and his left hand in Jesus' glory in the kingdom of heaven. They really don't want very much, do they? They just want to be the stars. Jesus tells them that they have no idea what they are asking for. Jesus answers with a question, as he often did. Can you drink my cup? Can you be baptized with my baptism? And before we get their answer, let's think about what our answer is. Can we drink Christ's cup? Can we be baptized with Christ's baptism? And you know, you even get a different mood if you say, can I drink the cup? Can I have the baptism? So think about that. James and John answer that they are able to drink from Christ's cup and to be baptized with his baptism. Their answer sets the table for the church's answer for the next 2,000 plus years. And for our answer today, the answer is yes, we can do that. As we look at the table, we think of that. When we come to this table, we drink from Christ's cup. We drink from the cup that is the blood of Christ spilled for us. We drink from the cup of salvation. We drink from the cup into which Judas dips his bread, betraying Christ. We drink from the cup of sour wine offered to Christ on the cross. That's what happens when we gather to celebrate the Lord's table. When we come to this font, the table, as we did at the end of last year, 2019, and starting this year, 2020, we are baptized into Christ's baptism. We are baptized into his baptism, into his life, into his death, and into his resurrection. These are the staples of our faith. These are the liturgical cornerstones of our worship. These are the two sacraments that we recognize, baptism and the Lord's Supper, as visible signs of invisible grace, as Augustine of Hippo phrased it. I assume that's San Augustine? Okay. These are the signs that God is at work, that God is doing God's thing. When James and John say yes, that they can drink and that they are baptized, they connect us to what Christ is and what Christ is doing. When Christ follows their yes with his yes, God incarnate, God with us, says that we are baptized into his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that when we come to this table, we do drink from his cup. Jesus doesn't give them the seats that they want, and their request stirs up much discussion among the other 10 disciples. Jesus ends the discussion by telling them that the Son of Man didn't come to rule, but to serve, unlike the powers of earth. For the people who follow Christ, we are to be servants. For the one we follow came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The connection should, I hope, be obvious. If we are washed in Christ's baptism and drink from Christ's cup, then we must come to serve and to give our lives as a ransom for many as well. Which brings us to Jericho, where we find the blind beggar, Bartimaeus. That's not right. Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And that's literally what the name means, son of. It's as though Mark is introducing us to Mark's son, Mark's own son. He hears from the crowd that it is Jesus, and he calls out for Jesus. The crowd tells him to be quiet, but he cries out even louder. We shouldn't overlook this part of the story. Today, there are many voices that are hushed when they should cry out for, when they cry out for Jesus. The voices cry out louder and louder. Sometimes we get upset with them crying out, particularly if we're the ones doing the shushing. Jesus calls for Bartimaeus and asks him, the blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's the same question that he asked James and John earlier. That's important to keep that in mind. To the ones following him, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" To the one begging at the side of the road, shushed by the crowd, who cries out over the hushing, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus is more earthly minded than James and John were. Yet it is still an audacious request. "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus gives him what he wants, heals his vision, and Bartimaeus follows Jesus. I use constantly eye drops, and I can just get a glimpse of what that meant to that poor man. If we are washed in the same baptism as Christ, and if we drink from his cup, then we should not treat those who approach us shouting, even as the crowd attempts to hush them, as Christ does. Do we listen to those who cry out and call them forward to see and be welcomed by Christ's body, the church? Is this not what it means to be baptized into his life, his death, and his resurrection? Is this not what it means to drink of the cup of salvation, the still blood of Christ? Is this not what it means to be the body of Christ in the world? So we are washed in Christ's baptism. And do we drink from Christ's cup, or are we really just sprinkled, not washed? And do we only sip, not drink, from the cup? If we drink, and if we are washed, then how will we go to our community and ask, "What do you want us to do for you?" If we drink, and if we are washed, then how will we call to those crying out who are hushed and ask, "What do you want for us to do for you?" To God alone be the glory. Amen.